Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to you with your host, Avenger Satanus, and the Beast.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Beastino, and this is my co-host, Avenger Satanus. Avenger, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, as always. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, of course. I'm excited about today's show. I believe that we've already got at least one of our co-hosts on the line right now. Someone Skyping in?
I'm here, but not Skyping.
Okay. All right, so this is Nagashiva, I'm assuming.
Yeah, this is Nagashiva. Hi.
Oh, Nagashiva. Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Great. I'm technically ready, and it's wonderful to be here.
Cool. And, okay, so Beast, you said that Venus was in the chat room, and I assume she's going to be calling in.
She should be calling in here momentarily. I just actually made an inquiry. So hopefully she'll... Yeah, she's calling next.
Great.
All right.
Well, do you want to start, Nagashiva, with telling us a little bit about yourself and I guess what you know, where you come from and what you're about, influences, things like that?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Rather briefly, my background, especially as I was growing up, is not affiliated with any kind of religion. And when I matured and began to encounter the world, I found spirituality and religion of those things compelling, and their philosophies of great interest. And so began to study them all. And I encountered a number of people interested in magic and occultism, which became my primary focus outside of those areas. And in the neo-pagan community, which was local to me, began to see things that were alarming to me in the last part of the 20th century. Was called the Satanic Panic. And they encouraged me to undertake a study of demonology, and that led to my alliance with Satan and a support of Satan and Satanists as I understand them, with an intent to communicate that their realities to the world and support and defend what I can of those individuals and entities.
Interesting. I believe we have Venus on the line, too, now. So let's say hello.
Hello. Hi there. Greetings.
Hey.
Awesome.
You know, I'm so happy to be here today. I'm so happy that you decided to have us as guest hosts. And I have a feeling that today's show is going to be awesome.
Good. Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we already heard from Nagashiva. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background, Venus, and what you're about, your influences?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say hello to Nagashiva.
Hi.
I'm really happy that you could be here with me today. And as far as my story goes, I got into Satanism back in 1992, and I found it by accident. One day when I was at the public library, and I found a book in the reference section called The Church of Satan, and this book was written by Blanche Barton, and it was all about the Church of Satan and LaVey and everything else like that, and that's how I first learned about Satanism, and eventually I constructed my own ritual to initiate myself, and when I did this, I created my own personal pact with Satan, and I had a couple years there that I like to call my lost years, where I wasn't able to practice my Satanism because of a really bad relationship, but I got back into it in 2004, and that's when I made my website, spiritualsatanist.com, and I've been working at it ever since.
Cool. What was going on with your relationship that caused you to halt your practices and whatnot?
Well, unfortunately, at the time, I had met a man who was a really good artist, and I fell in love with him. But he always had a Catholic upbringing, so he was really uneasy and nervous about my satanic practices. So I kind of had to put it on the back shelf for a couple of years, you know, so I could have that relationship. And it was really hard because it went against everything that I really wanted to do in my life at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine. So then you broke up, and then you kind of got back to your roots or your passion, whatnot.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely, yeah. Back in 2004, I was able to get back into my study of magic, and I made another pact with Satan, and that's when I decided to do something good for Satanism, and that's why I started up my website, so I could use it as a place for knowledge and information for other Satanists, because I know how hard the road had been for me, and I wish that I had access to knowledge and information, and when I first got into Satanism, those kind of things really weren't available, you know?
Yeah.
So...
What's
like
the name of your
back.
Website?
My website is spiritualsatanist.com, and Nagasiva's website is satanservice.org.
Okay, and you, or maybe both of you, you are, you know, what they might call theistic Satanists, or, you know, you do believe in, like, an actual entity of Satan, or, you know, devil worship, things like that. As opposed
well,
to
I'm
going to
let Nagasiva go first on this one.
Okay.
Well, he
has a really interesting view.
Well, I'm a rather unusual where Satanists are concerned, since my spiritual and religious interests are diversified. I am actually dedicated to the goddess Kali, and out of compassion am allied with Satan and Satanists for their support. My understanding of Satan is therefore very different, and my relationship is very different than most others who are involved with or associated with it. And I understand Satan as natural and what I call wild nature, interior and exterior to us, and personified by those who seek to have an interaction of some kind. But I don't find that many people share that view, and I think that many people in the satanic subculture have very different ideas about what Satan is and what Satanism is.
Okay. Now, Kali is, what, like a female god of evil, or a goddess of murder or assassinations or something, or...
Oh, yeah, to the thuggies, that was certainly the case. People have different relationships with Kali, and that group, the thuggies, were put down by the British. But I'd say the primary cults that worship Kali see her as a war goddess or a mother goddess, protective and in a benign way to those who worship her. I mean, I think that's an ordinary relationship that people have with gods.
Did that come out of India?
Yeah.
Or, okay. All right. Just want to make sure I know what I'm talking about, right? I've got my facts straight in my head. Okay. That's cool. That's a different interpretation. So do you believe in the, like, actual existence of Kali rather than seeing her as sort of, you know, a symbol or metaphor for less supernatural things?
Well, I believe as little as possible. So that includes a variety of different ideas, and my relationship with Kali has been a practical and interactive one for at least a decade or two, and that doesn't necessarily include belief. I don't have associations with Hindu culture or with Indian religious groups or anything like that, although I have interactions with them. I'm primarily, or was initially at least, primarily solitary where that's concerned until I met my guru and my beloved Catherine Ironwood, and she's the other with whom I share that spirituality. But that's very different than, for me, than what Satanism includes. It's related, but very different.
Okay. What is your take on how your particular, belief system meshes or contradicts with Satanism and the left-hand path? Do you see the left-hand path as sort of an overreaching umbrella or bridge between all these different religions, some sort of religion or spiritual belief or practices associated with Kali, Satanism, the Cthulhu cult, Odinism, all sorts of, do you see the left-hand path as, the sort of thing that brings them all together, or?
I see that as something that's compensatory. My understanding of the left-hand path is that it's primarily transgressive and self-indulgent and egotistical. And so my understanding of it is, and encounter with it, has been that the left-hand path tries to compensate those who have the strength, interest, and power basically deal with and exclude to the distance necessary where the things that are associated with the right-hand path, which are usually social, they're order-based, they're things that subsume or vampirize human and individual power. So left-hand path items would empower an individual and would assist one to get one where one wishes to go. And often those things are seen as counter to society, but not always. My relationship to that is that I like to understand it, I like to study it, I like to practice what I can of it, and I like to promote an understanding of that to others.
Okay, cool.
Interesting. Before we go too far ahead, let's hear Venus's reply to that question.
Well, I really like Nagasiva's view about self-empowerment, but I think a lot of Satanists also find individualism and freedom within Satanism. And a lot of times Satanists can be rid of the guilt and all the things that come with the organized religion of the right-hand path. But, in the end, it all comes down to what a person is really into and what their interests are, I really like your metaphor of the whole umbrella idea, because Satanism, just like the word paganism, has become a general word to describe a variety of beliefs. It's not just one specific belief anymore like it was, say, maybe back in Levay's time.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you look at it visually or as a metaphor or analogy, Satanism is its own umbrella. It covers modern, postmodern, theistic, devil worship. Satanism kind of covers all that stuff. And then the left-hand path is sort of a larger umbrella that, is over and above Satanism. It also includes various dark paganism and, Luciferianism, and which could also technically be under the satanic umbrella. And my whole approach is finding some common ground between all these different roads. And I'm hoping that the left-hand path is that common ground, and that, different groups can come together through recognizing this commonality And but what Naga Shiva was saying about the individuality, that's very true. There is a great degree of that. But at the same time, I think a lot of individuals working for a common goal can come together in a sort of society and work for the mutual beneficial, you know, or mutual benefit for everybody involved. So maybe this is like a new left-hand path that that we're trying to forge in the Cult of Cthulhu. But I think it's worth doing.
It takes a bit of maturity to coordinate and cooperate with one another, and I think the original or initial impulses that drive people towards the left-hand path and towards the things that are included in Satanism and other comparable paths or trajectories is that they are supportive of an individual, and as soon as you have a number of very strong-willed individuals trying to achieve something, it's easy for those people to strike out and to do stuff, but to coordinate and to cooperate with one another takes a bit of maturity, and I think that that's what's going to have to develop in order for any of this to endure with integrity. We have some groups, obviously, that we are considering as part of the history of Satanism, such as the Church of Satan and the Temple of Set and a variety of others, and they have been held together often by very strong individuals and sometimes by coalitions, and that kind of holding together is what's necessary to get anywhere. And I think you're right that the Cult of Cthulhu and a number of other combined efforts are part of what the future holds for us.
Yeah, I agree with that. BCNO, what's your take?
Well, I'm still actually trying to mentally catch up. I just had Toddler Fit Minute, so.
I could hear.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, you in the Shoggoth battle.
He doesn't quite understand that Legos don't always piece together exactly the way you want them to. You know, you can't make something click together when there's a big tire in its way. So he's trying to force it together, and I'm trying to help him to cope with his frustration at the same time. So anyway.
Well, that's a good parallel to what Naga Shiva was saying about the maturity needed in order to make things come together and too many satanic groups and leaders, you know, I think they're so ego driven and adolescent in their approach to philosophy and spirituality that they're more likely to throw a tantrum and get into some contest of, you know, dick waving or territorial pissing rather than wanting to come together and you know, pool resources and network and, you know, try to accomplish something real in the real world.
Right.
And actually that brings me to my next question for you guys. Like what kind of offline, non-cyberspace activities and things do you do in Satanism or your Kali based beliefs? What do you do offline that our listeners might want to know about or help participate in or anything?
Well, in my case, I have a rather distinguished activity set between each of those. In the instance of with respect to my spirituality and Kali, that's a relationship that I've developed with my guru, and it's something that we are engaged with to promote occultism and particularly magic and folk magic and the materia magica of that to the world, and a practical support of that, which can be found on sites like LuckyMojo.com and a number of other locations online. And some of that is off. Some good portion of that is offline. We are doing an outreach that has included things like a museum, which we've constructed of talismans and charms and divination objects, and we're constructing nonprofits to make those perpetuate. And the activities that are for me associated with Satanism are primarily research oriented and engaging other people. I don't travel much, so a good portion of that will be online. Some of it is talking on the phone, and I have met a few Satanists offline, but and done quite a bit of research primarily in order to understand the realities involved. But also I've done other things like invoking demons and the construction of a demonic temple, really an altar set in the house here. And then I'd say that takes up the bulk of it, but a little bit more incorporating things like exploration of self-worship, which I have understood that some, like Levayans, will advocate. I've explored and experimented with that very minimally in the construction of my altar here with myself as part of that construct. And I'd say those are the high points.
Okay. Cool. Venus?
Interesting.
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm just amazed at how much work that Naga Shiva puts into everything that he does. For me, I have a couple of things that I'm trying to do offline. Right now, the most important thing for me is my book. It's a book that I've been working on since last July. And I just had the feeling that, you know, something really good is going to take a lot of time to publish. You know, I can't just rush out there and publish my book right away. I have to give it some time and really work on it. And then that way it's going to be a very important book about satanic magic that I'm hoping that a lot of different people are going to be able to use in the left-hand path. And it's going to be my number one project offline. And I cannot wait to see that over at Amazon.com and on bookshelves and everything else. I plan on self-publishing. Mm-hmm. And so far, everything's coming along great. You know, it's going to be a spell book, and it's going to have rituals and initiation and how to work with magical tools and things like that. And
cool.
On a side note, I also have my own personal altar that I keep. And right now I'm in the process of moving my altar back into my spare bedroom so I can devote the whole room to my library, my altar, all the stuff for my satanist shop and things like that, you know. And so that's basically my goal that I'm working towards offline. As far as having like a meeting group or something like that offline, it just seems like it's so hard for Satanists to really be able to come together because we live all over the world, but a lot of us really are only able to connect online. So I'm really happy that we have the internet to be able to do that, you know. And
yeah.
I'm really happy that you guys have your radio show because it's turning out to be a great radio show. You've had some really good
thank you.
Guests here, and you guys have talked about some really interesting topics. So I believe that you guys are also helping to change things, you know, wherever you can.
Well, we try. So tell me a little bit about your altar. That sounds pretty cool. What was the process of you, I assume you constructed it in some manner rather than, you know, buying a pre-made altar, which, you know, I don't really think they sell those. Maybe they do somewhere.
I had to piece mine together over the years. And the first
okay.
altar
is
that
it made
I
of wood?
Back, well, the altars that I've had usually are made of wood. And the first altar that I had was back in 2004. And it was a long table. And it wasn't very wide, but it was very long. So I had plenty of room to lay out all my magic and tools. But the first item that I got to start that altar with was a banner. I found a banner with a sigil Baphomet. And that's what I basically built my whole altar around, you know. But over the years, the altar has changed according to my interests and my desires and things like that, you know. So right now, the altar that I have now, it has a really big statue of an ice dragon. And to me, that's just very symbolic of, you know, myths and magic and things like that. And I have all my satanic books on my altar as well. And that's where I keep my knife and all my magical tools. And I like to use my altar whenever I have the need to connect with the force of Satan, because for me, I'm a theistic Satanist, so I have a spiritual connection with my God, you know, and I like to connect with that every once in a while, and having an altar allows me to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that I was kind of related, now that you mentioned your spiritual connection. I assume that you believe that that everything happens for a reason, or that, you know, you're sort of on, you know, this path or this road, or you have some sort of, you know, destiny or fate, and
well,
your religious practices are connected to that in some way.
Well,
is that
true?
I do,
but it's kind of in a limited way. The way that I would see that is that we all do have a purpose, but whatever that purpose is, it's a personal kind of thing, you know, like we each have our own personal reasons why we're here in the left-hand path, and we each have our own goals to work towards, you know. It's not some kind of universal thing that every Satanist is out there trying to reach for, you know. It's a very personal experience. So I think that the purpose is there, but we have to find it on our own, you know.
What about people that aren't associated with the left-hand path?
Well, they have to find their own path too, you know.
Okay.
It's a shame that so much of society is Christian, you know, but that's what they choose to be. And we're just the same, you know. We made our choice to walk this path.
Right.
I'd like to follow on something that you've been talking about, which was the value of the internet and of radio. It seems to me that one of the very important things about Satanism and the left-hand path and the support of individualism, which is what I understand to be central to them, is that it doesn't always make us compatible with other people. And the way that we can mediate that difficulty of interaction is sometimes to have intervening space or intervening technology that makes it easier for us if we have disputes, if there's a dissonance between our communication styles or the way we get along. At a distance, it's like, I've compared it before with cats or with individualist or kingly or queenly individuals who prefer to operate on their own or in a constellation. And if you are in your own constellation doing your own thing, sometimes if you want to interact with another person that's like that, if you get too close to them, you can clash and so your projects can all smash together. If we have some sort of distant network connection or and maybe interactive and at a distance, then that interaction is less of a problem. And so egotists can interact via the internet and via radio with a lot easier time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, there's definitely a lot of ego in Satanism, you know.
Yeah.
That would sort of be the nature of the beast, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm curious, Nagashiva, you are kind of a chronicler in some senses of Satanism, being that you've been around quite a while, from my understanding. What I'm curious to know about is from your introduction to the Satanic paradigm and to today, what do you see are the fundamental differences that have developed?
Well, I think that there's a very large amount of change, and that's primarily because of the overarching culture and how that's changed through time. my understanding about the history and character of Satanism is that it's primarily developed as a reaction to a Christian propaganda and what I understand from sociologists is called subversion ideology. And that's been operating for hundreds of years, and only within the last century has anything religious and organized and in a valuable sense come together in opposition to it. And so that seems to have come into being as of the end of last century, and escalated, interestingly enough, with what was called the Satanic Panic. And I think that's still, some people say it's over, but the problem is that there's been multiple spiritual moral panics through time, all through last century, and they seem to be fomented by the subversion ideology of Christian and Muslim culture, and that they create some sort of nightmare scheme and then plaster that across their competitors and then identify them as dangers and threats, and that we should be eliminating them or opposing them in some way. And my understanding is that the end of last century included the diffusion of that satanic panic in a very meaningful way that incorporated secular society, so that we have psychologists under dismantling their props that were used to help do that, and we have police and the FBI actually deconstructing what Christian society has constructed in the way of seminars and whatnot that went on in the 90s. And so once that was diffused in the 90s and into the early part of this century, I think that there's a new horizon for what we, as a very small number of people, are engaged in, can construct and promote in the places that we're at. We have it's a different landscape now. We have an accepted kind of platform to stand on and to create things and do things in a way that no one has ever been able to do before.
And so as a result of this, what things do you see are manifesting?
Wow, and that's a very interesting thing. We've just been talking about that in the IRC chat room. We've got a Dalnet. It's called Satanity. And one of the things that we've been considering is how the things have been changing and varying and what's incorporated. It seems to be that there are so many people who are convinced of the notion of evil that they will take whatever was identified to them as evil and then embrace it with the interest of trying to oppose what they've come from. And this sometimes leads to their embracing of things which are even completely adverse to their own interests. Things like fascism, for example, or those things which are contrary to individualism, which I would pit as the center point of Satanism and of the left-hand path. And so we have things like Miot and the Joy of Satan and a number of others who are promoting the idea of Satanism as somehow integrating things like neo-Nazism and white supremacy. And while they're both identified as evil within conventional society, they aren't sustainably or endurably able to be propped up in an enduring satanic culture because of the focus on individualism, and what they're embracing destroys individualism for the purposes of leader worship and political domination. So we see that developing, and we also see a number of things developing which are artistic and expansive and self-supportive. The sociology of religion has begun to study Satanism and a number of other comparable things, and they have called it self-religion, which is of great interest to me because that's a different character than group religion, I guess you might call it separately. And so there's a whole diverse set of those people who are engaging these ideas and entities, gods, whatnot, and that's all associated, or much of it is associated with Satanism and the left-hand path.
I think that kind of makes me think that a collective of self-religion practitioners, you know, in the end, it's more a left-hand path, and I think you can get someone farther in life and through their own initiation and you know, discovery of, you know, gnosis and self-knowledge and, you know, self-control and mastery and the whole thing. I think hopefully that's what, you know, this new paradigm or age or eon that we're going through is about self-religion and self-initiation rather than group religion and dogmatic organizations that are sort of either spoon-feeding, you know, their followers, or they're trying to create a certain mold of, you know, identical people that can conform to a certain ideology. And, you know, not to, you know, go on and intrude our own tentacle or whatever, but I hope that that's apparent with what the Cthulhu cult is doing, that we're trying to, you know, foster an environment where individuals can, you know, do their own thing and in sort of a commonality, a common network, a collective, and feed off each other's energy and ideas and resources, and instead of, you know, the standard cult or religion where everybody has to fall in line and, you know, everybody does what the leadership says and, you know, no one can have new ideas and no one can, you know, disagree and backtalk and, you know, find their own way.
Any thoughts, Venus?
Yes, I have to totally agree with that idea. I'm hoping that someday Satanism heads in that direction. But you have to remember that, you know, as far as Satanic history goes, Satanism has only really been around since the late 60s. You know, that's really when it actually became socially acceptable. You know, that's really where it actually began. And it has changed a lot since then. And we can really thank the internet for allowing Satanism to spread the way that it's done. But I think Nagasiva made a really good point about people in Satanism who take things to the extreme. You know, and those are the people that are inviting trouble and danger. And it just, it's a lot of it really has nothing to do with the original ideas of Satanism, you know. And those original ideas are freedom and self-empowerment and things like that, you know. And I'm hoping also that someday that people move away from group Satanism and they decide to get into independent Satanism. Because with independent Satanism, they don't have to depend on groups and orders and rules and laws and things like that, you know. Which is what a lot of these groups try to do.
But at the same time, I think a certain amount of structure and order are necessary. I don't know if you would agree with that, or, you know, Nagashiva or Beast. It's sort of a, you know, something that has to be reconciled between total individualism and independence and coming together and working together towards common goals and, you know, you have to reconcile the order with the chaos. And that's, you know, that's very difficult to do. And going back to what Nagashiva was saying about the maturity necessary for such a thing, it's, you know, it's a super effort that needs to be made. And not many people in the satanic or left-hand path community, you know, are ready for that. But I think we're all hoping that eventually, you know, the majority will be. And then a lot of great things can happen.
I think that it really should be compared with the what the subculture that's called Thelema. It is associated with the works, writings primarily, and organizations of Aleister Crowley. And they have a very similar difficulty and a very similar emphasis of individual sovereignty. Their ideas help them and hinder them in very similar ways, and Satanists and left-hand path people sometimes integrate Aleister Crowley's writings and ideas into their activities. And I think that you're right, that the in order to do something as a corporate or group effort, it does require, or it is very greatly helped by some sort of agreed rule set, or at least some sort of agenda where everyone will understand in some way what others are going to be doing and how our boundaries will be interfacing. However, if you have an individual Satanist who wants to do something in society and doesn't care about interacting with anyone else, they don't need any sort of rules of that kind. They'll just operate on their own in society, and they'll do what they do, and they may shine and be brilliant, and their interests in anything social may fall completely aside. They may have no interaction with other Satanists.
That's very true. That's very true. I think there's room for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I applaud people that can do that and that want to do that. You know, just like there are people that are, you know, Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or Socialists or whatever, and then there are people that are, you know, are activists completely on their own, doing their own thing, and that's just great.
Now, I'm curious. We're getting close to the last 15 minutes of the show. When we do get there, do you guys want us to open the lines up so that you can answer questions from callers?
It's up to you. It's fine with me.
Okay.
Cool me.
I didn't know. I didn't know if either you or Venus or Avenger had, you know, any reason not to want
to
pick callers.
No, perfectly
well. So.
That's great.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to call
so
in, that's what, call in.
Yeah. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-989-1371. We'll be taking calls in about, I'd say, 2 minutes. In the meantime, I've got to say, I'd like to hear a little bit about the ideas of, it's the Horde of Independent Satanists, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's really no ideology. There's really no ideology associated with the Horde of Independent Satanists. There's some values that we are gathered around, and they're primarily self-supportive so that they can retain our operating standards. In the sense that we are not hypocritical, we don't subscribe to things that would derail our individualism and our own personal activities. But the Horde of Independent Satanists is a coalition, and it's only composed at this time of Venus Satanis and I as full members, and the rest who are associated are called associates, and they are part of a Yahoo group and an extended network that we generate information to because they have an interest in Satanism of diverse kinds, and we are finding out about them, we are instructing things to the public, and that's part of what makes a full member of the Horde of Independent Satanists, is that we're interested in doing that. We are publicly identified as Satanists, and we are allied together without a necessity of ideology or anything else other than some common practical agreements.
Yes, yeah, I think it's excellent because it kind of serves as an outlet for information and knowledge for independent Satanists. And while there isn't a whole lot of independent Satanists out there, there's more and more every year, and I'm very happy to see that.
Cool.
Excellent. Now, touching back on the idea of real-world contact coming into well, an actual manifestation. I mean, at this point, Satanism itself seems to almost exist entirely online. You guys think that in the future, people will be more comfortable with coming together? Or do you believe that there's going to be this continued trend of online being the only resource?
I think it's unlikely that there's going to be a great gathering. There will certainly be people who are interested in that kind of social activity, and they will probably try to promote things that allow for the gathering of Satanists. But my impression is that the character of Satanism, because of its high rate of turnover and because of the nature of the people that tend to involve ourselves with it, will not be very socially active. There will be orders, there will be, you know, groups that will form and disband and dissolve. But my thought about it is that the future is primarily supportive of individuals, and the internet is very helpful to that effort.
I have the same feeling too, that it's going to take a very long time for it to become socially acceptable offline, you know. And at least online, you know, we can have our barriers and our limits, but it's very hard to get a group of Satanists to gather together in public. The only person that I really know who's actually doing something like that is Diane Vera.
That's right.
And she has a group up in New York, and she's got a really good idea with that, but it seems like she's in an area where there's a lot of people who could be interested in that. And it just really depends on the area and if people are willing to gather together to do it and things like that. You know, there's a lot of factors involved in it.
There are other people who are doing it. I think that on an unseen basis, as I understand it, the Church of Satan does that. They have membership, and once you've been accepted as a member, then if you make it obvious that you want social connection with other members, then they will try to make that happen for you. And I know that that's also the case for the Temple of Set, when they don't always identify as Satanists, but they are definitely a spinoff of the Church of Satan, and they have similar kinds of activities. They have networks, and amongst their members, they do have group activities. Church of Satan has had public rituals, for example. There was one on June 6th of 2006, and they've done other things that were of that nature. And I know the Temple of Set may even have routine activities for their members.
Well, I believe that the rise of the internet, which has of course made great strides in communicating great distances. I think a revolution of technology, maybe in the next 10 years, will do for individuals, you know, working in different places of the world, for the internet, basically what I'm trying to say, I'm kind of getting all jumbled up here, but there's going to be new technological strides in traveling. So basically, if me living here in Madison, Wisconsin, wants to meet with, a satanic group or a coven of witches or something like that in Chicago, which is normally three and a half hour drive, there's going to be something available where in 45 minutes, you know, I can go there. Or if I want to actually meet physically with Vecino in Florida, you know, I can hop on whatever it is 10 years from now, and boom, you know, 2 hours later, without all the goddamn hassle of a plane ride, 2 hours later I could be talking to him face-to-face.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, I think, you know, things are going to move away from, people sitting in chat rooms and on forums and discussing things from a million miles away constantly, and it's going to be more, you know, face-to-face, more physical group activity, more offline activity. At least that's my hope in the next 10 years, but I could be wrong.
One of the things
real quick, we actually have a caller calling in right now, so caller?
Cool.
Yeah, what's up? It's the King, man.
Hey.
That's JK.
It's the man, dude. Lucky, I think it's today, lucky 21, or something like that. Avenger, inside joke, Lucky 13.
Yep, yep. Cool. So, yeah, Jason, what do you have to say about all this?
Well, actually, you know what? This has been somewhat of an insightful program. I got to say, I have mad respect for Nagasiba. But at the same time, what I want to do is I want to ask a question to the end man in that, you know, we're talking about manifesting and, you know, getting things moving and getting the ball rolling with regard to Satanism. And here's a man that's sitting on a gold mine of knowledge personally. But yeah, manifestation seems to kind of be from, you know, I don't know, the cuckoo's nest or something like that. Or like, I don't even know how to paraphrase it.
I understand.
In a way. It's like you have so much to offer, but yet you're not offering too much of it. It's like you're content to just be on the sidelines and critique other people. You know, I mean, you look at your main page is basically all about other people. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Well,
I mean, you could be the next Michael Ford if you wanted to, but you're not. You're not out there doing what needs to be done. I mean, the horde of independent Satanists, HISS, is kind of, to me, a joke. I mean, what is it? It's like a Yahoo group with like five members and...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely insular, and I think that's the intention. It's based on our own interests, and we're serving ourselves here. I can tell you some of the things that that I have planned. For example, my plan is to integrate all of the materials at the SatanService.org to a wiki and make them more available. And online, all this information is all available to anybody who wants it. So it's not like I'm sitting on it and not letting anyone in. In fact, I'm providing it for free, and so is Venus Satanas. We're out there making that kind of information available and then engaging people in a variety of different public forums on a regular basis on these subjects.
But honestly, this is the first time you've stepped out of the shadows, hasn't it?
It is. You're right.
I'm a very shy person.
For you. Thank you.
I can kind of tell, man. Now, you held up Diane Vera. You wanted to hold Diane Vera as like a success story. I don't think she's a success story at all. I think she's actually in some degrees a failure.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have to say that she's in some degrees of failure in what she's done? I mean, you know, she had the ball rolling for a long time there, and then she just kind of stepped away from it. And now, because I've talked to Diane Vera in person many times. And
it's very difficult to maintain something, especially when it's related to teaching, because I bet she got a ton of mail, you know, and I bet she had a lot to keep up with, you know, and her site is still up there for everyone to see, and
mm-hmm.
it's become an important resource for the Satanists.
Absolutely.
So, you know, she has an interesting history, and I hope that she does more, you know, but it does seem like she hasn't really done anything lately. But I think a lot of her work has been done offline, you know, with her group, Azazel group in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could get two people together in my bathroom and we could call it a coven. If we really wanted to. I mean, we could do that, but that's not really a coven. I mean, that's what's going on here, I mean, with Diane Vera, seriously. Do you want to lie about it and say that she's got like 100 people in a room or something like that? That's not what's going on.
No, her activities are primarily online. That has resulted in a severe amount of change. Exactly. Yeah.
But she stepped away from that.
Well, she's left it up, which is really admirable. I mean, she could have just dragged it all down, trashed it, and made it unavailable to everyone. But she didn't. She left it up there for anyone to look at.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean... That's somewhat true, but at the same time, there was a nexus that happened back about maybe was it like 3 years ago?
Yeah,
was when she knocked it down, and there's a reason behind why she did what she did.
Jason, I hate to cut you off, man, but we've got another two callers on the board, bro. So let me get the next one.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling, Jason.
Yeah, sure, no problem, Naga.
Okay, next caller. 512 area code.
Yes. Hello, how are you, Beast?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Hey, this is Pet.
Yeah, I figured that out. How's it going?
Hello. Oh, it's going all right. I just want to call in and say this is the first time I've gotten to enjoy the show, and I really, really enjoyed it a lot. I have to tell you, I've got to say, I've been visualizing every single one of you naked. So, and that includes Venus. So, but anyway, so it's been really hard to concentrate on the... What?
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, it's true also. But also, I was just trying to say, and I don't know if this is going to totally obliterate the whole conversation, but could somebody, as far as you talk about the going back to the main subject of the history and the character of Satanism, could somebody please kind of touch on, and I'll get off the phone real quick, about the how this pertains to modern Satanism as far as Levain Satanism, because obviously this was established in the 1960s. And how does that pertain, if it does at all? To me, it does, because we're talking about the history. Could somebody kind of touch on that a little bit?
I'll just throw my very brief two cents out there that, you know, there is sort of a primitive and ancient, you know, call it a belief system or, you know, forces or some sort of idea or communication that human beings have with these primal energies or vibrations or something, which, you know, relates to Satan or the left-hand path deities. And then, of course, when Christianity came about, then it really polarized the good versus evil, and Satanism came about more as devil worship, more as a reaction to Christianity, but also people following and wanting to worship these dark forces. And then in the 60s, then, you know, sort of modern Satanism came about, which treated Satanism or Satan as more of a symbol or a metaphor for other things, and then there was some back and forth with taking it more atheistically as a philosophy and aesthetics rather than a religion. And that's kind of when, in the 70s, when the Temple of Set broke off, because they wanted to take Satanism as more of a religion. You know, they recognized this infernal mandate, as Michael Aquino called it, and then... you know, then Satanism kind of broke off into two. And then now we have, I don't know, postmodern Satanism and modern Satanism and Luciferianism and, you know, satanic witchcraft and, you know, I guess the Middle Ages kind of Satanism or devil worship, you know, a reversal of Christianity as well as getting back to acknowledging these dark primal forces that were around from man's earliest existence. So really, in a nutshell, I think that covers the whole history of Satanism. But of course, you can dig deeper if you want.
I think it has a decentralizing trend.
Satanism itself?
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I think the pendulum swings both ways, though, and I would like to see more of a pluralistic centralization, you know, basically a creating a new satanic order through the left-hand path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people want to adhere to the satanic label. That's all well and good, as long as they recognize that other people parallel to them are doing pretty much the exact same thing, but calling themselves a different name. And basically that's what the whole left-hand path brothership should be about. And I don't know. Hopefully people read and take a look at the cultofcthulhu.net website. You know,
and the Satanic Bible.
Yeah, the Satanic Bible. Whether you're a Levain or not, I think the Satanic Bible is one of the premier resources of Satanism and left-hand path, black magic. So yeah, definitely that. And hey, register and post on our forum at the cultofcthulhu.net website. You can find our discussion boards. Please get on there and continue the activity and the discussion. there, that would be great. And thanks everyone for being there. I'll let Vizino take us out.
All right. Well, we've got about 20 seconds left. I want to say thanks to Naga and Venus both for coming out and giving us a fantastic show. We'd love to see you guys back here soon, so that maybe we could do an all open phone line, because there were a lot of callers that I didn't even get a chance to get to. So
that'd be fun.
If we can plan that, that'd be wonderful, guys.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Until next week. Later, puckers.
Yeah.
Who's the target?